You are listening to the North Peace Roundtable podcast, episode 53.
Woo!
Man, we just celebrate every episode that we have here. So, yeah, thanks for tuning in. My name's Andrew. With me this morning is Corland.
Hi.
And it's Cameron.
Good morning, everyone.
It is August 26th. Just a few more weeks until Armageddon. just kidding.
Tomorrow's my wife's birthday. Never mind Armageddon. It'll be Armageddon if I don't pull something together.
Yeah. So you got like 24 hours to pull this together.
Welcome to the planning session.
This is a tangent. Do you guys have like set traditions you do for birthdays? Like we do breakfast in bed for whoever's birthday.
We do breakfast of choice. So the kids are often, the last one for the kids was like waffle with like whipped cream. Tatiana's asked for a special...
Speak into the microphone.
Dairy-free, gluten-free, fun-free pancakes. So
for you. Oh, fun. So her birthday is like punishment for everybody else.
No, I don't think anyone else will eat them. No. So
this is not a podcast about birthdays, but if you're new to listening, we talk each week roughly about something to do with Christianity, the Bible, theology, you know, what it means to follow Jesus. I would encourage you, if this is your first episode listening, we have 52 other episodes.
Wow.
So you can go on npmbchurch.com and search under the podcast, or you can follow us on Apple Podcasts, and I think it's on Google and Spotify, all those other places that you can get podcasts. So today, you know, we joke about Armageddon, and everyone's freaking out about September 13th and blah, 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 blah. But all jokes aside, and we're not going to talk about like, we're not going to get into right, wrong, are you vaxxed, are you not? Because I think that's kind of irrelevant. But the Cam actually sent this idea last night about like, what do we do, and specifically Christians, what do Christians do when we feel kind of helpless or frustrated? Or I don't know, do you want to word it differently? Like,
yeah, you know, anyone who has been online in the last 18 months has seen a wide spectrum of people voicing their thoughts, concerns, opinions.
I think it's called a cesspool is what they call online.
Yeah, and I've actually been somewhat taken back by folks that I know profess Christianity with some pretty frustrated and vulgar at times expressions of their feelings. And I am no saint in feeling frustrated, downright like upset, but I hold this tension of like how, like, you know, I have venting channels and I have people I can speak with about frustration, but it's never kind of crossed my mind to kind of go publicly and use language or expressions of frustration that are not Christ-like. So that's an interesting tension. So I started thinking how today, as Christians, with everything that's happening, but not only with COVID, but with marriage or parenting, how do we express frustration in a way that still honors God? It is still Christ-like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think some of that gets lost in the feeling of helplessness or the inability to, you know, get yourself out of a situation. And, you know, my wife and I have had times like that through medical stuff where it's like, man, like there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
And you just want to lash out sometimes, but you shouldn't.
Yeah.
And there's a way. And so I think that could be a really relevant topic to just kind of hash out over the next little bit.
Yeah. And I think too, like that stuff is always there. I think COVID kind of just brought it more into the forefront of everybody's mind. Like there's always stuff in life, because a lot of times, like if we're honest, like life sucks a lot of times because of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And so there, even if COVID never happened, it would still be good to have a conversation about like, okay, when circumstances happen that are not great, how do you as a follower of Jesus express frustration, or when you feel helpless or like, I don't know what to do? And it's interesting, and Corlin, you brought that up too. Like that was kind of the sermon on Sunday a little bit, like, you know, when you go through those seasons of, you know, God is silent or my circumstances are awful or blah, 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 blah. How do you respond and actually get through that in a healthy
way. Yeah, how do you navigate those feelings in that time?
Because I agree too, Cam. Like, I've seen lots of people, like some people that go to this church, that you see stuff that they post online and you're like, man, I get it. I get that you're angry and frustrated, but you're not really being Christ-like. Like when you're like, F Trudeau or like this F, and I'm just like, and you say like, yeah, see you at church on Sunday. I'm like, and I get it. Cause I've been there too in my mind. Maybe I don't actually type it out, but I've been there in my own mind. So I get that. But yeah, how do you?
And I don't want it to be like cliche, like trust God more. He's, you know, because yeah.
You don't want us to trust God more?
Yeah, you heard it here first. Cam says don't trust God.
but
you do use those Christianese, like, hey, you know, and the thing with the Christianese statements is they're all true.
Sure,
but we just over.
We call it Christianese for a reason.
Just cast all your cares on Him, and it's like, well, yeah, I know that, but.
I think I shared a long time ago, but when my wife and I were dealing with some difficult news, someone shared a verse with me that was from David. And I'm like, you realize David had a lot of natural consequence. His son died and, you know, lived his life at war. So while your Bible verse that you shared was meant to, you know, share hope and peace, it's actually, if you know the narrative, it's a pretty dark time. And I don't want my life looking anything like that. So thank you for nothing. So I don't, and I get the sentiment behind that, but, you know, sending a verse to someone who is frustrated is good if it means something. But even just as you were speaking, you know, the first thing that came to my mind is like, are we actually praying for our leaders? Like, sit down genuinely concerned for the mind, the emotions, the soul of the person? Like, I'm gonna use Bonnie Henry as an example.
Yeah.
Wait,
I don't know if anyone has heard the name, but I wonder how many of these folks are like actually sitting down and praying for this woman who could be a figurehead, could be whatever. Like, who cares? Like, I wouldn't want her job for any amount of money at any point in history. But how many are like sitting down praying for wisdom, for peace in her life, for, you know,
instead of against her, that she would lose her job, that she would blah blah blah.
And like, even if you like, you know, I don't get too political, but how many people are praying for Justin Trudeau? Like, I don't know, like genuinely concerned that God would intervene and that there would be wisdom. I would venture to say not many.
Yeah.
And as a point to begin, I think that you can't really oppose or protest without beginning there as a Christian.
I think that that's where like frustration as an emotion, when stuff like this happens, is such an interesting thing, because it kind of, generally speaking, we see it manifest itself in two types of responses. You either have the people that get incredibly frustrated and draw back. They say, screw it, I'm not dealing with any of it, and they just draw back fully. Or you see the people that seem to have an outlash of emotion, either in their words on social media or directly to someone. And they feel like that's their way of seeking justice. Because I'm trying to think of like what causes us to be frustrated, like what actually drives those emotions. And I think for myself, the common factors that would drive frustration are a feeling of injustice injustice, I think, would be the best way to describe it. Because usually it's when I feel like something isn't fair for myself. That's when I would feel frustrated. So if that's a timeline of something happening, if that's the order of events of something happening, I feel like it's not fair. So I feel frustrated with that happening. But that usually drives one of those two responses, right? So as Christians, I think that there is a way to possibly do either one of those reactions well, but what does that look like, right? Like, how do we actually express frustration and seek justice well in a time like this where we feel like it's an injustice against ourselves? I think a good place to start is to look around and ask if it's unjust just to you or to the rest of the population as well, right? Like, is it something that affects only you and you maybe need to check your heart about, or is it something that is a legitimate injustice towards other people, and start critically thinking about it. Because our minds are fascinating in the sense that as soon as you start down trails and you let emotions start to guide your actions, our minds will continue to feed into those types of things because there's chemical release in your brain that just keep driving those emotions, right?
Yeah.
But as soon as you start critically thinking about it, it slows that reaction down tenfold, right? And so you can actually critically think about stuff and navigate those situations, I would say, most of the time with a lot more grace, yeah, a lot more patience and anything. And
it's fascinating how, just as you were speaking, I'm thinking about the church, and you got your Bible open, and I was looking at a couple of verses, and then I want to start by reminding myself, like, everything we read in the Bible is written and produced by a population that lived the majority of its existence under oppression, yeah, especially yeah, government oppression,
yeah.
With some very severe consequences. Not like you can't go to the movies or a restaurant, like you will die,
yeah. If, yeah.
And we will be the ones to kill you. And so it's interesting how throughout scripture, when we read about wisdom, peace, protest, decisions on how to live your faith, it is produced in a time that's so different from now. And I wonder how we got to this point in as Christians where we now feel so violated, but we've joined a faith, we've joined a belief system that it was birthed under oppression.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
now we're shocked by,
yeah,
the potential of oppression.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that's this idea of, like, especially in the West, like the idea of Christendom and Canada and the US. We were Christian nations. And I always call, like, you know, BS on that sometimes, like, because I'm like, were we really? Sure. 98% of people in the first census in Canada checked Christian. But, like, what on earth does that mean, right? And I think that actually does, like, a disservice, like you said. Like, Jesus said to his disciples, yeah, it should be pretty normal when everybody hates you. Like, he prepped them in John. He says, yeah, like, if you love me, the world's going to hate you. So, and then yet, when we see that, and I want to be really careful. I'm not saying that's what's happening right now. But right, when you see maybe, like, little hints of that, it's kind of like, what? And we're all shocked. And it's like we forget that Jesus says, hey, yeah, because of me, guys, like, you should just be, this should just be normal. You should be, yeah, used to this, right? Right? Because if the world hated me, this is Jesus speaking, well, of course they're going to hate you. Like, but I think we've, in my lifetime, right, 35 years growing up in Canada, I have never once been persecuted for my faith. Maybe I got, oh, there goes Christian boy in school. Oh, yeah. Like, so I've never, yeah, once in my entire life faced any kind of hardship because I was a Christian, right? And so then, and again, I don't necessarily think that's what's going on. Is it coming? Probably. Of course, it's inevitable. But then it's like all Christians that I talk to are like shocked that this is happening.
Sure.
Why are you shocked? Like, Jesus told us this is pretty normal. And everywhere else in the world, I shouldn't say everywhere else, the majority of the world is just kind of like, it's like they're saying, hey, welcome to the party. Like, we've been persecuted our entire lives. So well, I think when I thought about that question, like, how do you react when you're frustrated? My first, and this is something I've been trying to practice, my first response is, when you feel frustration and helpless over one thing, the first thing you should do is shut your mouth. Because the Bible talks a lot about, like, you got to be really slow to give a reaction. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I think we're really bad at that. Because not even just this week, but anytime something happened, it was like within minutes I saw Christians online. And so I'll just read you a few verses, right? Like James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. I like that sometimes the Bible just, like, subtly insults you. Isn't, yeah, that great? the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. You know, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And like, just on and on. There's all, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. There's all these proverbs and things in the Bible that says it, the Bible doesn't say like you're not allowed to have a response. The Bible just says, hey, like it's almost like, hey, take a breath, man. Like before you jump in and express your frustration, it's take a moment and just process it.
And so even like to connect that to a worldly concept, for myself, something I've noticed, because if you watch anybody who you would consider wise, or at least who I think it's fair to say in this group we would maybe consider wise or smart or very knowledgeable about a topic, if they're posed a question, even if that question can cause a lot of emotional uprising for some people, oftentimes put into practice, this looks like taking a second before they answer it, right?
Yeah.
They think about what they're going to say. They don't just immediately let their thoughts pour out. They take a second. Even if it looks like thanking the person for the question, they take a moment to rest and think before. Oh,
that's why you did that at the business meeting.
One of the reasons, yeah, because you got to think about it, right? You can't.
If anyone was there, you know, he was very polite. Thank you. That's a great question.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where we don't just rush into it, right? That's a practical application for those types of verses.
It's a human condition to want to stir up frenzy, I think, and maybe not use appropriate or normal channels to express frustration. I had that experience this past week where a person came to me with some questions that were pretty important and felt like there was not a response. And I actually said, in the last 7 months, you're the first person that actually came and asked me about this. Mm-hmm. And this person said, well, it's been talk and, you know, chatter in the back this whole time. I said, well, thank you for coming and actually presenting this as a concern.
Yeah.
For the first time ever that this group of people expressed a question to me. And I've seen that online with even something like around some of the pages on Facebook where it's like, we're going to, you know, stand together. And then someone will respond like, if you actually want to express your concern, here's the name of the person responsible, their email address. I would really venture to wonder how many people actually, you know, get off Facebook and open up their email and write their concern appropriately.
Yeah.
It's probably not as attractive because, you know, 300 people can't see that you did that.
Yeah.
And then you don't get that kind of frenzy. But there are channels if it's government related or, you know, your church, like there are ways to express your frustration in a way that's still appropriate. And you can actually still say, I'm incredibly frustrated by this without name calling and demeaning. You are then putting yourself no better than the person you feel is frustrating, causing your frustration. And so I think that's where we can't be, blessed in our response if it's sin. And I think that's we're seeing is people are not being Christ-like. And that's not just the climate today, but in your marriage. Like I've had to check myself in our own marriage when, you know, I don't like something and I, you know, I want to respond in a way that's going to bug her. You know what I mean? Like I choose to, like, that's wrong. And we joked early in our marriage, like, you know, she'll say something frustrating and I'll say something back just because it's, you're not getting me. Right. But we do that publicly and it's just, it's embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think too, one of the things I've been convicted of is like, and it is a Christianese thing to say, but like before I make any kind of response to actually pray about it. And I think it's just wise, like, because I so often don't. I just, like, boom, explode and make my opinion known because I'm so angry. But to actually, like the Bible says, like, okay, actually shut my mouth for a second and then actually pray about it. Okay, God, like, why am I feeling like this? Like, what is this? Can you please help me to, like, not run my mouth off in a really, that would, like, ruin my reputation as a Christian, that would, you know, whatever, like to actually pray about it. And that's not just for things that frustrate you. Like I've been convicted lately, like how often with like anything do I just go like, okay, before we actually like, can we just pray about it first? Like in my marriage, like raising our kids, work decision, like just to honestly say like, okay, if we believe that God is listening, that he actually gives wisdom to those who ask, like,
are we seeking it?
Yeah. Like, cause I often like, I can figure this out. I got this. I don't need it. But to go like, okay, am I actually gonna ask God, okay, God, help me with this. What am I supposed to do here?
Like, I think that goes exactly with the verse that I was thinking that's coming to mind right now is Matthew 6, verse 33. Just the classic Christianese, seek first the kingdom of God, right? How often when we're worried about things, whether it be COVID restrictions, whether it be financial decisions you have to make, how often do we actually sit down and, like you said, pray and not just pray, dear Lord, would you please help my will to be fulfilled? Yeah. But like where do, how often do we actually seek to ask God, like, am I, because I think sometimes our own heart can deceive us that we're seeking God's will when we're actually seeking our own, mm-hmm. right? We're seeking our own justice when we should be seeking the kingdom first, right?
Yeah.
So how often do we actually stop and say, okay, God, like, where are you in this picture, and how can I serve and honor you, even if that means laying myself down, right? Like,
oh, that's not an easy prayer.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Right?
And but so, it's how it's written.
Yeah, yeah. And so we look at the state of the world right now, and I think rightfully so, it's okay to feel like there's an injustice in certain scenarios, sure. regardless of where you are in the world. And that's good. God has designed us and asked us to seek justice. So it's not wrong to feel frustrated when you see sin in the world or when you see injustices happen.
Sure.
But there's still a godly way to go about that. And in your specific scenario, I don't know what that looks like. I'm not going to pretend mm-hmm. that there's a step-by-step to say this is how you get the justice you're looking for. Because guess what? The justice you're looking for is probably just as skewed as the person who made up that rule.
It's funny that you say that, and I really appreciate that. The mode of prayer, I think sometimes we define something as unjust, or we define something as, you know, prohibitive, and on the grand scale, it may actually not be, considering what humanity is dealing with right now. I was in traveling, and someone had shared with me one evening how they were making this business decision, and both, I'm listening to this person speak, and he's describing these two scenarios that he has to work with, and both are going to produce incredible wealth, and both are going to produce his family succeeding. He owns a few properties, and he's like, you know, I just want to wait on God and get some direction. And I kind of laugh because we're friends, and I'm like, okay, just playing, you know, just pushing back a little bit. Like, you're in like the few percent of the globe, and so like, do you think either's bad? Like, do you think God's gonna be like, this one will make you $1 million extra? Like, do you have to pray about that? I said, which is kind of funny, right? Because it pushes back on that whole yeah. Christian idea of like, okay, I'm just gonna put my two options before God and have him tell me which one. You fool. What if God says sell everything and donate it all to the poor and join them in their poverty?
And then you're like, no. Which one of the
should
two?
Should I get the new Ford 1F? Should I get the GMC?
Oh, God, I just want wisdom. Yeah. I would venture to say God doesn't care.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a hole in your roof? Stand in the other 99% of your house that doesn't have a hole. People are throwing babies over fences in Afghanistan. Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that, because sometimes our injustice or what we're praying for, it's like, wait a minute, slow down.
Yeah.
That's not oppression. That's not injustice. Watch the news beyond how it impacts you alone.
Yeah. So we end up seeking our own kingdom instead of seeking the kingdom of the Lord, right?
Yeah.
And just before we jumped on, I was saying, like, there have been incredible injustices done to human beings in our own community around BC and Canada before COVID and during.
Yeah.
And the protests on the corner have not been for their wrongs to be made right. It's like, my inconvenience needs to be made right, and I'm going to stand in protest.
And
but there is like people, like actual human beings being neglected, dying, not having clean water, and it doesn't really matter to us because it doesn't impact us personally.
Yeah.
We're seeking our own kingdom, I fear.
Yeah, and even like you mentioned with the news in Afghanistan, I wouldn't doubt that there's people here that are like, oh, that's rough, glad it's not me, and then move on with their day, right?
Yeah.
It's an injustice. And I, as far as I'm concerned, if you feel like throwing your baby over a fence is the best option, that's worse than choosing to get the vaccine to go to a restaurant or not.
Hmm. Oh, he mentioned it. Now we have to stop.
I can't believe it. Oh my gosh. We'll cut that out. But even so, yeah, I think, like you said, there's proper channels to like I love how even Paul does this. Like, Paul, to me, seems to be a level-headed kind of guy in certain scenarios. In certain scenarios, right?
Yeah.
Because I even think about the times when he's been, when we read about him being arrested or injustice. I love how, and I couldn't find it, but the one time when they were, and he just basically says, like, is it proper for you guys to do this to a Roman citizen? Like, just,
right.
And he could have been like, I'm a Roman, my rights, blah, blah, blah. And he just says, like, is it okay for you guys to do this? And then they go, oh, shoot, we didn't realize he was a Roman. Okay, let him go. Yeah. I just love that. That's one of my favorite. Because he just seems like, I'm going to speak out against this injustice that's happening, and I'm going to save my own hide here because I don't want to get flogged or whatever it was. Like,
again.
But he just does it in this like really calm way. Like,
well, Jesus does it in this story. Like, you know, if a Roman asks you to carry his stuff for a mile, offer a second. Well, the rules were they couldn't have someone do it for two. So it was like, do what you're told to your oppressor and actually go a step further and say, hey, can I do a little more for you, sir?
Yeah.
Knowing that
four shots,
knowing that they can, so it's kind of, I find that incredibly humorous. Where it's like, listen, you're under oppression; it's not going to be good, but there are ways to actually make it so that you don't.
You want me to get two shots? I'm getting four. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sir, we can't. I know. That's the point. Gotcha.
Yeah. You want me to have a passport? I'm going to share it.
Yeah.
That's awful. This is not an advice podcast. Oh, man.
Anyways, so I think like take a pause before you respond, right? Biblically, like, you know, be quick to hear, slow to speak, pray about things. And I think you even mentioned, Cam, if you like have safe outlets where, like, my wife, you, Cam, actually, those are people that I go and I bring stuff to and I vent to. And yeah, my wife hears stuff that no one else really hears because, you know, you're the pastor and you have to always be on. And people who aren't in ministry might be like, well, wait, you're different at home. No, but but there's certain things that you just can't say, right? Yeah. And so my wife, often I'll go home and I'll vent to her, and then it's kind of like she doesn't go and live tweet it or whatever. It's like she knows this is a safe place, vent what's going on.
And maybe open up an email instead of Facebook. Like, Facebook is not a good outlet for sharing frustration in a Christ-like way.
Yeah,
I don't believe.
Yeah. And then everyone should invest in a punching bag.
Stress balls.
But I think
there are your children.
Oh gosh. I think, like, you, and I think you mentioned it, Cortland, it's natural, it's human to like, I don't think it's a sin to be frustrated.
It's not. No.
But it's like, what are you going to do with that? Like, if my frustration leads to me like slandering someone, well, then that's a sin, right? But if I have these like kind of checks in place where, okay, I'm frustrated about something, I stop and shut my mouth. I pray about it. I talk to someone who's like a safe person that I can go to and vent to, and then I form a response. Like, I think that's healthy. Like, but we're so quick to like, my 150 friends on Facebook need to hear how I'm feeling about this. It's like, no, they don't. They really don't.
Right.
And that's just not a great way to respond. And I think depending on who reads it, you could actually hurt your witness in the community by, like, well, if you're dropping F-bombs against Trudeau all the time, like, and you go to the, don't say that you go to like a different church. You don't come to Northeast MV.
Yeah. We're going to start scanning your social media platforms before we have a membership conversation.
Any other pieces of advice?
I think that along the lines of praying and stuff and taking that moment to reflect, sometimes that can look like a second or two before you actually do reply in a conversation type deal. But I think sometimes, like in scenarios, that can look like quite a while of asking God for wisdom. And just in that time too, I would recommend, and I think it's a biblical concept, to remind yourself of who God is and what he's done already and what that means for you, right? Mm-hmm. Like even Paul in Romans talks about considering that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing to the glory that we're going to have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And And so I think one of the things like with that, my wife and I have been trying to balance is where is it appropriate to take a stand and how do we do that? Well, if that's what we choose.
Sure.
And still honoring God in that versus where is it okay to just say, you know what? Not a big deal. It's not, it's not the end of the world. Like this is, it's something that we know is going to happen, right? And yet that doesn't compare to what's going to happen when Christ returns, right? Yeah. Whether you choose to get the vaccine or not, when Christ returns, I don't think he's going to care if you've got the vaccine or not, right?
As long as you got your passport on, yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's where it's important to remind, like you mentioned in the sermon, remind yourself of what God has done and remind yourself of what God is going to do still, right? Like what he's promised. Because when we rest in those two things and we remember them, it causes us to look at the world in a different light of what is happening to me that I feel is wrong, right?
Yeah.
You can still have things that are being done to you that are wrong, that are horrible, like look anywhere in the world, like we've said. But it still puts it in a different light when you can look, like Jesus was literally killed.
Yeah.
Like that's not just a figure of speech. That's not a Christianese saying. He was literally killed so that we would have eternal life. And yet we look at some of the things that are done to us, especially here in North America, and we claim and cry out that this is such an injustice. And like the meme asks, like, but did you die? Like, is it actually that unjust? Like, was the ultimate price paid? No. Like, maybe just keep moving with your life. Like, was it wrong? Sure. But maybe the person didn't even know that it was wrong what they were doing to you, right? Yeah. So have compassion, have mercy. And
that's what we'll title this podcast. But did you die?
But did you die?
I'm actually going to.
As long as you use the image of that actor that actually said it.
Oh, I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, I'll send it.
Okay, send it to me. Okay, well, we want to get into some segments, but I think that's a good. Hopefully, it's been helpful to you. I think it's relevant to a lot of people's feelings, even this week. But. Mm-hmm. It's relevant anytime you face frustration or feeling helpless. You kind of go, what on earth is going on? So hopefully those are just some good practical things to not just talk about, but actually try. And I'm going to put some of these things into practice so that my responses are more Christ-like. So hopefully that's been helpful. Let's do a segment here. Oh, man.
Is it a reaction?
I'm going to tell you.
What is it?
I'm going to tell you in 1 second.
The podcast cast react.
Woo! So we have a clip that we want to react to. If you are kind of going, what on earth is that angelic voice? no one thought that. They said, that's creepy. We like to play clips of, it could be like a sermon or, and then just kind of react and give our thoughts on them. So this one is a little bit older. This is from 7 years ago. And the title is Oprah Goes Soul to Soul with Rob Bell.
Who's Rob Bell?
Do you not know who Rob Bell is?
Oh,
are you serious?
Man. Yeah.
Dude. So Rob Bell.
Velvet. Red Velvet?
Velvet.
Or?
Red Velvet. Cheesecake. Velvet. Velvet Elvis.
Velvet Elvis.
He was a pastor at a church called Mars Hill. Not the Mark Driscoll Mars Hill, different one. But he wrote, I have a few of his books on my shelf, actually, because everyone needs a heresy section on their shelf. But he came into kind of like big media spotlight when he wrote Love Wins.
Right.
And basically, short synopsis of his book is like, is hell really real? I don't know. Would God send people to hell? I'm not so sure. And then since then, he's kind of been walking down this, you know, you call it progressive Christianity, where he said, like, you know what, the whole homosexual marriage, God blesses homosexuality and blah, blah, blah. And he's just kind of gone further and further and further down the road of this idea of, like, we just got to be progressive, man. So
I like his series, like, 15 years ago, the Numa videos.
Yeah, those are great. We use those in our youth group all the time. And then he had a...
You were about 6, I think.
I think, yeah, probably. You were... It's still in diapers. You see what I did? At 6. But he had like a 1-hour lecture called Everything is Spiritual. And I thought that was fantastic. So he's one of those cases where, like, he started out really, and I was like, man, this guy's really smart. He makes you think. But then it was just kind of like, oh no, here we go. So then he had an interview with Oprah, and I'll just press play. If you want me to pause while we go through, let me know, because this is a doozy.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
What is the soul?
It's the thing that keeps telling you there's more. There's more. There's more. This isn't just a meal. This isn't just a person. This isn't just an embrace. This isn't just an interview.
There's more.
Yeah. There's more.
Your definition of God?
Like a song you hear in another room and you think, boy, that sounds beautiful, but I only can hear a little bit. So you start opening doors and rearranging furniture because you have to get in that room to hear that song. When you get in, you find the knobs and you turn them all to the right because you're like, I got to hear more of that. And then you open the windows because you want the people in the next houses to hear it.
Did she ask? What is God?
Your definition of God?
A song in another room
you hear, and you just have to get there. And you open up doors and windows and turn knobs. And
like, so I kind of get what he's getting at, but like at the same time, it's like, I feel like there's a better way to
that might be a good metaphor for an attribute of God.
Yeah, sure. But that's his
not the definition of
who God is.
Who God is.
Yeah.
It's between religion and spirituality, or is there a difference?
Difference between religion.
Well, you know, some say that religion is people don't want to go to hell, and spirituality is people who've been to hell already. Religion should be the structures, the prayer tables, the things that you do. In the course, it should help you, it should cultivate, it should be the practices, it should be the symbols, it should be the rituals that cultivate your sense that there's more.
What does prayer mean to you?
Prayer to me is usually one word, which is yes. Yeah.
Yes.
So when we say pray before you do something, we don't just mean you sit there and yes, and then do something. Like,
so here's the, and we'll listen, we're like not even halfway through. But it's this idea of like, and lots of guys do this. It's like this idea of, I need to give an answer that is so profound.
But it can't be more than a couple of words. Otherwise, but yeah, it's
to
not
say like, if someone
cool.
asked me, what is prayer? It would be like, prayer is me talking to God, communicating with him, bringing praise and my requests to him. Not like prayer is me saying yes. But I think a lot of these like, ooh, spiritual mystics are trying to be like, oh, whoa, what does that mean?
They're trying to be mystic about it is what they're trying
sure,
to do.
Sure, yeah.
I'm open. What's next? That's what it is.
What is the lesson it's taken you the longest to learn?
That there's nothing to prove.
Long division for myself.
Because you're young and you start out and you're like, ta-da, look at me. I can work harder. I can work faster. I'm smarter. Look at me. Respect. Everybody understand what I'm... And then later you realize, oh, there's nothing to prove anymore. All that's left to do is enjoy.
What do you think happens when we die?
I think there's a ton of, because there's all these people that have gone before you. And some people say, well, then you meet God. I think, yeah, but I never met my grandpa on my dad's side. So actually, when I think of, like, dying, I think of, I'll get to meet Preston. Mm. That's actually what I think of first. I don't think of sort of gold and a throne and like a, hello, Rob, well done. You're strange, but I like you anyway. I don't think of that. I think of, like, my grandpa that I never met.
So isn't that interesting? Like, what happens when you die?
Family reunion.
That's what he's saying, and it's kind of scary because I've been convicted of that same thought, and actually Francis Chan started a book by saying our focus as Christians should be on being in the presence of Jesus.
Yeah.
And anything other than thinking of life after death as being in the presence of Jesus is wrong.
Yeah.
And it's really hard for even me to navigate because I'd love to see my grandparents again.
Totally.
And it was a marriage book, actually, where he said, like, forget about marriage. Like, you should be, your life should be desiring to be in the presence of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anything other than that is sin.
Yeah. It's funny. Interesting. There's this, like, yeah, man, I'm excited to see my grandpa. Yeah. gold and thrones and God, and it's just like, so that's kind of secondary. That's super.
That's sad. He was a pretty.
Deep. Oh wait, there's more.
Be honest. And like heritage and family bloodline. And
all of them who came before you?
Yeah, I somehow think of flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
I think of like...
You think you're going to see them?
People I've heard about.
Not if they're in hell.
I do,
and
actually.
Will they be in flesh and blood?
Maybe at some point we're known for our essence and whatever that looks like or feels like.
What do you know for sure?
That you can say yes to this moment and experience a joy that can't be put into words. That is actually possible. I know that for sure.
The world needs, finish that sentence, the world needs
Jesus.
Say all
Jesus.
Of us to wake up.
I believe
that we're gonna be fine. I really do.
Heaven is?
Here and now and then and there and at hand and among us and upon us and available and real.
And up and down and south and east. And
sorry. Word salad.
God is.
Oh, love. Stick to that one. God is love.
Yeah.
I thought you said he was a song.
My favorite thing to do on Sunday morning is?
My 13-year-old son and I will often go surfing. And we'll be sitting in the water, and it's quiet. And sometimes a dolphin will go by,
Numa.
And we'll talk, and it's perfect. Perfect. Yeah.
So
that was the Numa videos. It's like, and they were really catchy. You should check them out. Like walking through a forest with the kid on the back, and it's raining. And
yeah, totally. But it's interesting, like the world needs, oh, say Jesus, please say Jesus. The world needs
us to wake up, man.
But I'm like, what does that even mean? And like, it's so interesting. You would think like, she's kind of like t-balling this for you to like, what the world needs.
Present the gospel.
We need Jesus. The world desperately needs Jesus. No, the world needs to wake up.
You know she's not prepared to counter with an argument if he said Jesus.
No, it would just be like, oh, like, so it's this whole idea of like, yeah, we're trying to like repack into this mystical, give answers that people scratch their heads and go, oh, wow, that was so profound.
But what does it mean?
But yeah, exactly. And Rob Bell, even earlier in his work, like he would do that often. He would ask questions that no one has an answer for. Like, I get that, but now it's just kind of like you're giving answers that you go like, what on earth are you talking about? Like, but it's, yeah, you get on Oprah and you get to give these kind of, oh, super profound word salads that mean nothing.
Yeah, I feel like there's a difference between making people think and making people think they're thinking.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Like, I think that there is a way to, as Christians, ask or answer questions that leave space for people to actually pursue what that would mean or to ask God what that would mean, like in their own lives. And I think there's a way to do that well. But when you leave people thinking, man, that was great. But yet, to try and explain it, they wouldn't be able to because you didn't give any sustenance. Then, you're not actually doing anything with your words. You're just speaking nonsense.
Yeah.
Heaven is everywhere, man.
Heaven. Yeah, I like that. I'm going to say heaven is
here now there.
East, south.
It's like the multiverse theory.
Oh man. Anyway, so yeah, I found that one. I remember watching that years ago, so I thought that would be fun to walk down memory lane. So I think that's the end, right? So there we go. Hopefully this has been an interesting episode and helpful to you guys. Episode 53, But Did You Die? That's the title of this episode. And again, as always, if you do have like...
No, but I got a blood clot.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, oh gosh. Oh, yeah. It's time to end it.
Whoa. Yeah, let's hit end here. But please subscribe. And if you have questions for further topics, you can always message us. So have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.